Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook. Or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today we have Lacole with us. Lacole, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. Leticia, thank you so much for having me on as a guest. I appreciate it. I am Lacole Smith. I'm a wife. I'm a mother. I'm a nana. I have 6 grandkids that I truly adore. All of my girls are grown, and I'm married to Shedrick Smith, which is my husband for the last, we've been together 15 years, but we've been married for going on 9. But to tell about me, basically, I'm just trying to make it through, you know, just the day by day. I wear a lot of hats. I'm a publisher. I'm a host of a show, Motivational Talk Dialogue Show. I am also, I do printing. Like, I print the books that my clients actually write. So I'm able to do all of that. I'm out here to help people tell their story. That's my life. That's my hope. That's my dream, to help people tell their story, to get them in front of the audience that they need to be in front of so that they can grow and blossom and bloom like everybody wants to, because that's the dream of everybody, to tell their story, help somebody else, and make sure that we're doing all of this in good favor. Most of the time, you're going to catch me writing, editing, formatting, something with a book, because that's my lifestyle. I love journaling. I love putting a smile on people's face, and I've been through so much. I've been through depression. I've been through grief. I've had a horrible accident that I had to bounce back from. When it comes to, like you're saying, say, survival mode, and I'm sure we'll get into that, I have a lot of survival modes that I've been through. But that's kind of me all wrapped up in one. Not a whole lot of I'm just little Nicole from Louisiana doing her thing. That's all.
Yes, I love it. And I love the fact that you proudly wear all of these hats. So let's kick it right off. How would you describe survival mode?
Survival mode to me is getting in there and making it happen. No matter what you're going through, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult it seems, if you got to stretch and claw your way out, that is what you do. Because at the end of the day, you're trying to reach that light at the end of the tunnel. And that's my survival mode. Each day, I am focused on being the best version of Nicole that I can be. And that takes focus because a lot of times we look at things and we say, oh, I can't do that. Well, that's not in my vocabulary. I used to struggle with trying to survive. I was sinking. I felt like I was drowning, like everything was just taking over and taking charge. And I was like, all you have to do is swim, girl. Get your little self out there and swim and tackle those waves. When they come, you know how to balance your body out for to do it, and that's what I do. So survival mode is all I know right now.
I appreciate that, and I love the fact that you use water as an analogy. I often t tell people, when you stop fighting the current, you stop drowning.
And that's true. That is very true.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to go with the flow until you can do something different. So, Nicole, tell us your story to and through survival mode.
Well, it actually started 2011. I had a horrible accident. I was hit by two 18-wheelers. One hit me from behind. The other one hit me head on. The motor of the automobile was actually laying on the ground on the highway. And I just thought that I was all broken up and I thought I was about to leave out of here. I had a cup of water that actually was sitting open. It didn't have the top on it. So the water splashed on my face. So I just thought blood was everywhere. I was bleeding. I was freaking out. I was panicking. And I'm touching myself all over trying to figure out like where am I bleeding? What's going on? What really happened? Because I actually thought the first truck hit me, but I wasn't even thinking about the second truck when it hit me. The automobile is smoking. My cousin had to actually help get me out of my seatbelt so that I can get out of the vehicle. And I'm so grateful for that. I did have some damage to my hip. My back was fractured in both directions. They told me if I would have fallen, if I sneezed, if I twisted wrong, I could have been paralyzed. So they were telling me it might be a chance that I wasn't going to be able to walk. And my mind would automatically went into this cannot be my life. I cannot do this. So in my mind, I'm thinking if I can just get to my dad, I know how strong my dad's faith is. I know how mighty his prayers are. If I can just get my dad here, I know I'm gonna be able to walk. And whatever y'all are saying, I am not accepting it. So my dad came, and when he told me everything was gonna be all right, I knew everything was gonna be all right. The pain wasn't all right, but I knew the end situation was gonna be okay. And you go into a place of, I guess you can say, hiding because you mentally gotta get your thoughts together. I'm a mother of four beautiful girls at that time. I don't have time to not be okay. So it was 6 to 8 months before I was even able to get back out and drive and do anything and go back to work because most of the time I was bedridden. They didn't want me doing a lot of moving. I was in a back brace. The injections that I had to get, I had to go to the doctor, get the injections in my back to try to relieve some of the pain. It was a task. It was mentally draining. It was spiritually draining. I felt alone. I felt hurt. I felt like everything was just total chaos. But at some point, I decided to lay there and close my eyes and ask God to give me the strength to push through this because my children needed me. And it didn't come right away, which I wanted it to come right away, but it didn't come right away. And I just felt like I was left out there alone. Like he wasn't hearing my prayer. But I never stopped praying. I never stopped saying, this is what I want for my life. And when it did come, the calmness that came over me was so welcoming, so rewarding. And I just knew that I was going to be able to get back up and I was going to be able to be the mom to my kids that I had been. And, you know, I didn't allow other people to be the mom for me. I didn't like other people filling in for me. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be at the track meets. I wanted to be at whatever functions they had. So I had to will myself back up. You know, I'm not going to lay in this bed for months and months and months and not get up. So I started slowly getting up and moving around the house just a little bit. I didn't do too much because my mom was watching. So I had to try to do it when she wasn't really paying attention that I'm scooting through the house and I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to be in the bed. But eventually I got enough strength where it was okay to be up. It was okay to be walking. It didn't hurt as much. So anything that we're going through, anything that we do not push through is a hindrance to our end goal. And had I just laid in that bed and did what the doctor said and not gotten myself up and not prayed and asked God to give me the strength to be where I wanted to be and how I wanted to be, if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be where I am today because my mindset would have shifted to basically failure mode, and that wasn't an option for me.
Ooh, as I sat here and listened to you, I'm from a very small island, and we have, I don't even know if they're 18-wheelers, but every time I'm in the States, I think about, I hate driving because of the 18-wheelers. So like you were literally sandwiched in this accident, and it's miraculous.
Yes.
That you survived, you know. I smiled when you talked about the water splashing on your face and then you're looking for the blood because I probably would have done the same thing. But what you
when you
spoke
got
about.
Hit by 18-wheeler, you know that, you know, that's the first thought coming to you. I know blood everywhere. So I'm like.
Yes, but what you spoke about in relation to your mindset is like so key, right? Oftentimes we find ourselves in scenarios and our thinking is what often makes or break us. And, you know, you often hear about people who may have been diagnosed with chronic disease, and it's all in the mindset. I actually watched someone very close to me who was diagnosed with cancer, and everyone around her was distraught because of the possibility. And she had so much confidence that she was gonna make it out with good health and have an amazing life ahead of her. And the prognosis wasn't great initially, but somehow or the other, they removed the cancer. She didn't need radiation. She didn't need chemo. And I truly believe it was in the power of her thoughts. And, you know, anyone who has caught this podcast previously would know that a huge part of my healing journey was understanding the connection between feeling, emotion, and action. And oftentimes we fail before we start because of how we think. So I salute you for not giving in to your prognosis, not giving in to your circumstances, and really relying on your faith and your positive attitude to help you get through. Because, I mean, the reality is you could have been laid up in that bed, your mindset completely different, and you may not have walked again.
Exactly. And that's, you know, a lot of people, they fail to realize that it's power in our voice and it's power in our thinking. And when you put those two things together, you can be an unstoppable force. But most people allow other people to silence them. They allow other people to change their mindset. They might start out positive, but then people will start telling you, oh, I don't think that's going to happen, or I don't think it's going to be like that. And that mindset starts to shift to what they're saying. And then you become what they told you you were going to be, and not what you assumed that you would be. And it's a big difference. You know, as long as they stay positive, and I'm all about being positive because it was so many years that I wasn't positive till that's the only thing I know now. Anything, it might be a negative word, it might be a negative energy, it might be a negative whatever, but I'm gonna find something good out of it because that's the way I think now. And it takes a while for to get that mindset shift, but if you get there, it's a hard force to be reckoned with.
I agree with you 100%. And I talk about accident survival mode. I talk about it in three phases. The first one is self-awareness. The second one is reprogramming. The third being reinvention. But that reprogramming piece is so important because, like you said, people speak such negative over our lives, and oftentimes they are just perpetuating their own fears, right? And
Right.
if we take that as gospel, if we take that as gold, we are letting someone else's fear dictate our future.
Exactly. Exactly.
And when you say it out loud, it sounds crazy, right? But it happens every single day. Right? Now think about you have like this amazing idea. I remember when I wanted to walk away from my 9 to 5. So I was working in commercial insurance. I was at the pinnacle of my career, right? And I remember saying to somebody, I want to quit and start my own business. And they were like, I could never do that. Like, I have children to feed. I have a mortgage. I have school fees. I have all of this stuff. And for a second there, I sat back and I reflected on all of the financial responsibilities that I had. What popped up for me was this ultimate fear. Well, if I quit my job, I'm gonna end up homeless. But this was someone inserting their fear when I was so certain that I could make it happen for me. So oftentimes, like, you know, when we are expressing the things that we want in the future, we also have to be cautious on who we're sharing it with.
Oh,
Words
that's a
have so
powerful
much
thought right
power. Words have so much power. And it doesn't even have to be your spoken words that slow you down. It could be someone else's
Right.
that plants the seed of doubt in your head that stops you from moving forward. Walking away from my career, my biggest fear was ending up homeless. Like, oh, I ended up homeless. I did. Not by circumstances of my own, but I ended up homeless. Had I known that, and I in that space where I'm giving in to someone else's fear, I would have never made the jump. My
Right.
homelessness, though, gave birth to an amazing opportunity. I ended up traveling full time with my family for 2.5 years as a result of my homelessness. Had I been working, Laku, I would not have been able to get on a plane and slow travel through Europe. Had I given in to someone else's fear, I would have still been very resentful at the top of my career and had not visited all these places that I've been to, right? So,
Right.
you know, sometimes it's important for us to value our own opinion and then trust ourselves enough to be able to make the moves that we need to make. Because listen, people will slow us down and often not intentionally.
True. Very true. Very true. And I just feel like a lot of times we sit on our talent. because God gave everybody talent. And we sit on them and we just let them sit there and yeah, they might be, you know, sauteing. They might be getting ready for a good stew because they're marinating in all of these juices. But if you go to the pot and you take the lid off, but you never take the spoon and pick up the piece of meat that you've been cooking and watching and marinating and you got it to perfection. If you never go in to get that piece of meat, you'll never know how good it is. So we have to make sure that in the midst of the things we're doing, while we're marinating, while we're sauteing, while we're stewing up, we have to make sure that we're keeping our mind straight, that we're keeping, like you say, keep. Sometimes you have to keep yourself to yourself until it's done and then present it, because people will try to hinder you because a lot of people don't want you to do better than them. They don't want to be the person beside you. They want to be better than you, but they don't want to tell you they want to be better than you. So when they see you rising, they're going to do whatever it is to pull you back down. And if you allow that to happen, then that's you, because your mindset is already where it needs to be. You just have to believe that you can take that step. And that's one of the hardest things for anybody to do, is take that first step. Because they're so scared that first step is going to make them fall. I remember watching my grandkids as they were learning to walk. And that was one of the things that really, really, as you're sitting back and you're watching a baby trying to take that first step, and they're scared. And they do it over and over again, but they don't want to let go because they're scared if they let go, they're going to fall. Well, sometimes it's progress in the falling. It's blessings in the falling. And as you're getting back up, you're finding your strength. You're finding your legging. You know, your legs are getting stronger. Your body's getting stronger. And now I don't need to hold on. I can do this on my own. But if you never let go, you're going to be right there on the side of that chair, right there on the side of that sofa, just sitting there watching everybody go by. And especially when they used to be running around and all the older grandkids running around. And my youngest grandbaby, he wanted so badly to run and play with the other kids, but he was scared to let go of the sofa. He was scared to let go of the chair. He didn't want to let go of our hands. And one day he was taking steps, and I slid my hand out, and he didn't know. And when he realized that he was away from me and I wasn't holding him anymore, he'd been walking since that moment. He was scared to let go, but when he realized, oh, nothing happened when I let go. I'm doing what I want to do. I can keep up with everybody else, and I'm just as good as them. I can do it. And he was able to, and he hasn't stopped since. So,
probably running you ragged.
But you know what?
You bring up such an interesting point, because, right, like when we watch toddlers, when we watch babies experience the world for the first time, like from newborn, everything is new to them. And yes, they may have some fear, they may have some hesitation, but what I love about children, and particularly toddlers, they do not let it stop them. And somewhere along the way, as we grow, as we mature, we lose that ability to be so resilient. And I believe it has a lot to do with, again, our mindset, right? So we start conjuring up stories about what it means to let go and take that first step. But as you said, they fall. But they find a strength in getting back up. And with everything in life, if you learn to extrapolate the lesson, You are never at a disadvantage. I remember early in my healing journey, I read The Value of the Valley by Ian LaVenzette. And that is one of the things that she spoke about very heavily. Instead of questioning why I'm going through this, question what am I learning from this? You learn a lot about
Right.
yourself. You learn a lot about your environment. You learn a lot about the people around you when you are willing to fail. And the thing is, just like similar to perfection, right? We aim for perfection even though we know it's an illusion. We aim to never fail even though we know it is part of life. We need to
Right.
embrace every part of life and learn how to take the positive so that we can continue to grow and we can edify ourselves through our experiences. And then we don't fall victim to our circumstances. We are a victor of our circumstances every single time.
Right. Every time. And we just have to believe that we are strong enough to do these things. And like you made a valid point, babies come and everything is new to them. They have no sense of being scared. They don't worry about anything. They're not stressing over anything. They're not dependent on any person but their mom or their dad to come and make sure that they are being fed, to make sure that they are being clothed, to make sure that things are going the way it's supposed to be. They have no worries, no cares, no fears. And like you say, at some point as we start to grow up, we put these things in our lives. We allow these things to come into our spaces. They were never meant to be there to begin with, but we allow people to start chattering. We allow people to start saying, we allow other people's situations to dictate your situation because, oh, well, she tried to open a boutique and it was open for 6 months and then, she was back to square once she had to go back to work. Well, she might not sell the same things that you were selling. Her energy might not be the same as yours. Her attitude might not be the same as yours. You might wear your clothes a different kind of way that makes people say, oh, well, I want to go to that boutique because I love how she dressed. So don't stop yourself because somebody else failed you. You have to say, I will not fail. I'm not going to fail. And I'm going to keep pushing forward because I know that I can be the best version of me that I can be. And so many times people let other things get in the way. Why you can't have it? Why can't you be successful? And like you said, yeah, you became homeless, but you traveled the world. You saw things that you never would have seen had you stayed on that job. I'm doing things I probably never would have done had I stayed in the bed as long as the doctors wanted me to. But yet, we got up from our situation. You got up from homelessness. You got up from the things that you were afraid of. And you tackle them head on. And what came out of it? Beauty. So we gotta stop being afraid. We just have to stop being afraid.
Absolutely. And as you said that, I smiled because, I'm a big Disney fan. My children are still very young. And there is a movie called The Good Dinosaur. And my favorite line in the movie is, life happens beyond your fear, right? Like the best of life can happen beyond your fear. And that's probably not the right saying. I can't think of it in this moment, but it's essentially that, right? Like we stop
Right.
ourselves, we let our fear be a barrier, and we don't get to experience life in its fullness because we let fear take over. And when we get to the other side of the things that we're most fearful, is that's when we can really appreciate life from a different perspective, from a different point of view. It allows us to really expand when we can get beyond our fear. Miss Laco, listen, I enjoyed this conversation. So tell us a bit more about what you do and how we can find you online.
Well, I am the CEO and founder of AL Publishing and Consulting. And what we do, we specialize in helping people find their voice. So I'm an author mentor. I teach people how to write their books. I'm a ghostwriter. I do editing. I do formatting. I have a team that does your book, the cover designs. We do everything in-house. It's a one-stop shop. You don't have to go out for anything. You don't have to go to Amazon to get your book printed. We do all of that in-house. Everything is in-house. And you are able to have your own voice. Because with Amazon, they try to take your voice. Or they might say, this cover doesn't look like we want it to look. So they send you a couple of covers that they want to have on their site. No. If your cover is big, bold, and beautiful, guess what's going to be on your book? It's going to be that cover, big, bold, and beautiful. You're going to keep your royalties because they try to take that too, and they steady going up and up on that. So we definitely want to be that one-stop shop where you can do everything in-house, and that's what we do. You can find me on Facebook, LaCole Smith. If you're looking for my business, it's AL Publishing and Consulting, LLC. And on, I have two groups. I have my Motivational Talk Dialogue group where I host my shows. And then I have my Storytelling Unleashed group where we kind of just do things writing. It's kind of like a writing group. I have my Instagram, which is author_LaCole Smith. And then I have YouTube, which is AL Publishing and Consulting. So those are the places that you can find me on social media.
Okay, we'll make sure all of that information is in the show notes. So, LaCole, before we wrap it all up, one key takeaway for the audience.
Keep pushing. That's all I can say. Keep pushing. Stop allowing negativity to control your voice and your words and your thoughts.
I love that. Keep pushing. I want to thank you again for your time, for coming on Survival Mode Disrupted and sharing your story. And audience, thank you for catching another episode. I just want to remind you, as always, you were not built to break. You damn sure were not built to just survive. So disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Leticia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracked something open on purpose. Because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth. You're not broken. You're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it. Don't numb it. Move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.